What do you do when life feels so overwhelming you just feel like giving up? You want to quit? I think sometimes it's important to look to those who actually chose hope, chose to do what seems impossible. Christopher Reeve, the late great actor, I think, who is best known for playing Superman, I think in real life he exemplified Superman, really. Not as Clark Kent, but the real life Christopher Reeve. Because he said, once you choose hope, anything is possible. He actually understood the power of hope, but maybe right now your circumstances are so overwhelming, you don't know how to take that next step. Well, maybe commit to taking that next step toward a more hopeful life. How do you do that? Well, I could talk about Christopher Reeve. I could talk about a friend of mine who reached out to me not too long ago and said, Joe, I feel like quitting. And I didn't know if he was talking at that moment about quitting his job or quitting on life. But the truth is, it was probably a little bit of both. And maybe that's what you feel like right now. So what do you do? How do you take that next step? You commit. You take the step toward hope. How do you keep hope alive? That's what I want to talk about right now. I want to begin by talking about Paul the Apostle, who is one of my heroes. I look to Paul all the time for one who really understood the difficulties of life. Paul had it so hard, but he never lost hope. There were times that he struggled. He cried out in pain. But he even said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm just going to paraphrase it, he said, I don't want you in the dark, friends, how hard it was. How hard it was in the Asia province. He said, it was so bad we didn't think we were going to make it. We thought we had been sent to death row, that it was all over. And then he says something very interesting. He said, as it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened. Now, what do you say when you feel like life is so overwhelming, you feel like you have been sent to death row? Maybe what you could say is, maybe this is good. Now, why was Paul able to say that? And why can you say the same thing? Because Paul said, instead of trusting in our own strength or our wits to get out of it, we were forced to trust God totally. Not a bad idea, right? The same God who raises the dead can raise you up out of your dark and difficult circumstances. And so maybe what you do when you think about hope is you stop looking at yourself and you look to the God, you know, the same God who created the universe. Maybe that's where your strength comes from. Sometimes you've got to look for hope in the unexpected places. Rather than trying to force it and to force something upon yourself or repeat some sort of mantra, just get outside where maybe a glimmer of hope might come up unexpectedly. Maybe you're there and you're walking your dog through the park. Maybe the hope that you hear is the laugh, the squeal of children. Maybe it's the couple holding hands. Maybe it's that coffee shop. It's the appreciation of a smile that was given to you. Anything. Sometimes when you feel overwhelmed, you've got to be willing and open yourself up to even the small things. You know, God can do anything, far more than you ever imagine or guess in your wildest dreams. But again, God works with you in the quietness, in the stillness, sometimes to such a degree you can't even recognize it. He doesn't push you around, but works within you, His Spirit gently encouraging you to take the next step. And I think that's the reason why you can always feel hopeful or optimistic. Optimism is one of these traits that has been studied significantly by researchers. You know, is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? But this is the first thing that I want to say. If you're not naturally an optimist, optimism is something that you can cultivate. Why would you want to cultivate optimism and how do you do it? Well, the why first is because you're going to enjoy a higher quality of life, better physical and mental health, according to the scientific research. So again, how do you cultivate optimism? Well, you can choose where you put your focus. You can see all the mistakes, all of your weaknesses, or you can actually choose to see what is good, what is beautiful, what is bright. What has gone well for you, even when you unexpectedly didn't look for anything to go well? It happened. Paul speaks about that in Philippians chapter 4. He said, whatever is true and noble and beautiful and good, things to praise, focus on these things. And that's how you actually cultivate optimism. Right along your sense of optimism is gratitude. And one of the ways to become more optimistic is actually to practice gratitude. It sounds like a cliche, practicing gratitude, but it actually makes you more hopeful. Think about those things that are good in your life. I know right now, if you're feeling a lack of hope, you might say, nothing's good. That's not true. You can actually practice gratitude. It might take some time. It might take some work. But I would encourage you, when you wake up in the morning, before you go to bed at night, maybe mid-afternoon, look around and literally count your blessings. What are those gifts that you have? Unexpected gifts, blessings in your life. This is something that you have to cultivate. At Mass the other day, it was the Gospel of Luke 17. I think it was the Gospel of Luke. But it was the healing of 10 lepers. Can you imagine that? Life doesn't get much worse than having leprosy. You're not only going to fall apart, literally, your body, but you're ostracized from all support. You're kicked out of the community. But Jesus, being God himself, saw these 10 lepers, and he healed them all. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. One of the 10 came back to give glory, to give thanks to God. I don't know what the other 9 did. But think about your own life. Think about your own blessings. Think about the times that you've been healed. You've been sick and you've recovered health. Think about the friends that you've got. Think about the breath that you're able to enjoy right now today. Give thanks to God. Because what Jesus said is, get up, go on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you. You've got to look at the possibilities in your life, even when you're feeling overwhelmed. Yes, there are always going to be limitations. One of the things that I do when I'm working with clients as a therapist, I do a lot of work with EMDR, and I'll say, okay, I want you to imagine yourself dealing with this difficulty, but I want you to see yourself dealing with it effectively, how you want to. What would that look like? What do you want to feel when you're feeling life is really going against you? Oh, I want to feel peace, Joe. Okay, see yourself feeling that peace. It's not a trick of the mind. It's actually visualizing what can be. It's about seeing the possibilities in your life. You could create anxiety in your life by imagining that everything is going to go south. Nothing's going to work out for your life. And what are you going to feel? More anxiety. But if you could see what can be, the possibilities, if you can visualize yourself actually dealing well with the obstacles that you face, that creates a different mindset. It actually gives your body some peace. It actually opens up to the brain to creative solutions. It's about creating that compelling vision. And you can do that. Again, even if you look at yourself and say, I don't know that I got what it takes. Okay, fine. But can you embrace God, who can create and do things in your life that you couldn't do yourself? Sometimes when you're feeling completely overwhelmed, when you feel like you're losing all hope, I say, get outside. Go into nature. There have been studies that show that just looking at pictures of nature makes you feel more hopeful, more alive, less depressed. And sometimes you've got to get out into God's beautiful nature to hear the birds sing, to see the moon appear, to see the grass grow, the trees blow in the breeze, the changing of the seasons, the sunrise, the sunset. Because it's pretty hard to really find yourself in that place and not feel awe. Paul speaks about this even in Romans 1. He said, open up your eyes, and there it is. By taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has created, you can see what your eyes really can't. You can take in and understand the awe, the majesty of nature, the eternal power, the mystery of God's divine being. That's what fills you up with hope. Hope isn't just some false belief of what you can do. Hope is the belief that the same God who created the universe is a part of your life. Another action that you can do to give yourself hope, And you might be thinking, oh, what do I do for myself to make myself feel better? Maybe just the opposite. Maybe be kind to somebody else. Whether that's buying somebody, a stranger, a cup of coffee, giving somebody a compliment. Because when you actually act kindly towards somebody else, you too receive the benefits. It makes them feel good, and you feel good about what you've done. And that can help you to reinstall that faith in the goodness of other people. When you see them appreciate your kindness and you feel good about yourself, you start feeling more hopeful, a belief. Proverbs chapter 11 says, "The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped." And again, even people who you don't like, God says, love them, be kind to them, give to them. Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, "I tell you, love your enemies, help and give without expecting a return, because you will never regret it." You live out this God-created identity, the way God the Father lives towards you generously and graciously, even when you're at your worst. Remember, God is kind to you. He wants you to be kind, to love others, including your enemies. Now, sometimes it is important. You might say, "I don't have anything to give right now." Okay, that's fine. Love yourself. Remember, as God says, love others as you love yourself. What does loving self mean? I mean, sometimes you actually just take the break. You give yourself that moment to breathe, to relax, to just soak in the sun. Maybe loving yourself means becoming more aware of that negative self-talk and working to change it. Maybe it means eating something healthy or getting to bed a little bit earlier or not abusing alcohol or drugs. That's self-care. And finally, I want to say, if you're feeling like you just need that step of faith, you just need to harness some hope right now. Remember, what is hope? It's having faith that things will work out without the evidence. The writer of Hebrews chapter 11 says, "The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's your handle on what you can't see. It's the act of faith that distinguished all of the ancestors, the prophets that went before you. By faith, you see the world called into existence by God's word." That's faith. Remember, God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to clear the world of sin, so that when you have faith, you too experience that freedom. God decided on that. Remember, if you need hope, it's not about just looking inside. It's looking outside at what God offers you. Paul again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, "I was unsure how to go about this." He said, "I felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death," if you want to know the truth of it. He said, "So nothing I said could have impressed you or anybody else." He said, "But the message came through anyway." He said, "God's spirit, God's power did it," which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not some fancy mental or emotional footwork by you or anyone else. Take these steps. Find hope. Find life. I will meet you back on the road. Until then, always forward.